very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the May 2024 Sunday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, as compiled by me. We are at page 28. So as usual, we will compose our mind, develop the Saddha Virya, and mindfully commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô 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 Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Nam mô Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Nam mô Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavā Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi. Swāgato bhagavatā dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Suppatipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pāṇātipātā Vairamani Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Ādīnādāna Vairamani Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu Micchācāraṃ Vairamani Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Mussāvādā Vairamani Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya Majjhāpamādhatāna Vairamani Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddhaṃ puja. Dhammaṃ puja. Sanghaṃ puja. Okay, you all can be seated. And turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. No, no. Page 6. Okay. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho. Vidyacharana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati. Svagato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pasyantang veditabbo venohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Samippatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Yadidam chattari purisa yukani. Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasangho. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyam ketang lokasati. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we shall continue from where we start. Turn to page 28, 2.5 subsection. Yes. So we are at Heart Sutta, fourth Heart Sutta lesson, subsection 2.5. There is a question on the difference between Pure Land, Western Paradise, and Nibbana. So this is a very good question. So this is the fourth question actually. So somebody asked, one of the Kayamita, can you explain the difference between Pure Land teaching that talks about the Western Paradise and Nibbana is taught by Sakyamuni Buddha? So this is a very good question. So now, before I read to you my answer. Maybe I will explain a little bit. So here, Pure Land teaching means it's one of the Mahayana's teaching, Mahayana traditions teaching. And Pure Land's teaching is only popular when cultivators reach the end of their cultivation. In fact, a lot of Zen master, if you were to look at the way they develop the cultivation, they start from normal Zen cultivation. Then finally, somehow, they end up having strong faith in Pure Land tradition. Pure Land tradition is basically the teachings of Amitabha Buddha. Amitabha Buddha is a very special Sammāsambuddha. He developed the perfection through faith. There are three ways to become Sammāsambuddha. One is going the wisdom way. If you take the wisdom way, the length of cultivation is a lot shorter. It's about one third of those that take the faith sadhana way. Then there is another approach where they use virya, spiritual zeal or tenacity, to cultivate to perfection. That one will take twice as long as the wisdom way. But each and every of these had their own pros and cons. We cannot say which one is better. It's the particular Sammāsambuddha's choice. And once they realize Sammāsambuddha, they have equal understanding or equal enlightenment. Except different bodhisattvas has different vows, special vows, and understanding that lead them to such perfection. So for Amitabha Buddha, it took a total of 12 asaṅkhayakalpas, means full cycle, to perfect his 10 perfection to become Sammāsambuddha. And because of his great faith and virtue and perfection, he was able to invoke very heavy vow. He got 48 great vows, 48 Da Yuan. And one of the great vow is to have the ability to create pure land. Jīngtǔ in Mandarin. So pure land is another realm of existence that manifests because of Amitabha Buddha's special unique vows. And this is the land that he, through his vow, manifests. And only those who have affinity with him can develop the what they call matching condition for them to take rebirth at the Pure Land, where they will develop their cultivation at much faster rate. But then for those who have the understanding of the cultivation in between, they still have to come as bodhisattva to the existential world, especially the human right or the 31 plane of existence, where they need to establish further understanding. Then after that, they again go back to the Pure Land to continue their cultivation. Then they move around. Whereas the traditional Theravada tradition's teaching is just the sainthood way leading to Arahantship. And this one is what we call the preliminary teaching, or the initial teaching. Then in the Lotus Sutta, Biao Fa Lian Hua Jing, the Buddha did explain, initially, this provisional teaching, or what they call expedient device, or we call it in our normal English terminology, instead of calling it expedient device. These are various skillful means of teaching the Dhamma, like I explained before. Take, for example, our education system. If you want to have a lot of graduating from university and going beyond the graduate degree to do master, PhD, and further their study through various specialization. You need those students that qualify to enter university. So these are for Malaysia, it's the Form 5 and Form 6 students. And for overseas, it's after Form 5, you do your matriculation. So the same way is equivalent or similar to our education systems, producing a lot of Form 5, Form 6 graduates. Not really graduate, they are not degree holder yet. Undergraduate who qualify to go to university. So when you have enough of these Form 5, Form 6 or matriculation students, then you don't have to worry about the university places to be filled up. So there are a lot who will strive to go to uni because this is where you can really gain the degree and all those special qualification that are beyond degree. Then when you are able to realize that or pass all those degree and PhD or master's program and the various specialization, you will have good opportunity to have good employment and also maybe recognition in society, everything. But for the spiritual cultivation, it's slightly different. It's not so much of a recognition. It's the individual. After you have gone through the cultivation and realized the sainthood way, which is from the Theravada tradition, then whether you want to continue with the supreme vehicle teaching or Bodhisattva way cultivation to realize Sammasambuddhahood or not, it's entirely one's choice. The individual's choice. This aspect of the teaching is seldom elaborated or taught in the Theravada tradition. But in the Mahayana tradition, there is a lot of emphasis. And the basic emphasis is to take initially the four basic vow of a bodhisattva to go this way. Then as they develop more and more understanding and cultivation, then their faith all develop and build up. Then they will strive on with heedfulness to go this way. Initially, although it appear like it take very long, but then as you continue with the cultivation, you will come to a point where you realize all these so-called eons and eons and eons of cultivation is not what living being think. They are in fact existence. Once you penetrate the unreality of life and existence, then the amount of time that one spend in existence is no more an issue, no more a problem. That's why within the Bodhisattva ways cultivation, There are five stages of Bohemian development. And when you hit the third stage of Bohemian development, where your Bohemian can illuminate your nature, by then you would have known that samsara is no more an issue, no more a problem. That's why after you clear that, you will go to the fourth stage of Bohemian development. Means Bohemian that can renounce samsara. To them, samsara is nothing, no more an issue. Yeah. Then they would have perfected their understanding of true emptiness. So like in the Heart Sutta is mentioned by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And you realize true emptiness, life, existence become wonderful. That's why there is a famous Mahayana saying in Mandarin, Sen Kong Miao Hiu. Once the cultivator of the way have realized true emptiness, they will understand wonderful existence. Then life existence become wonderful, beautiful, meaningful. So all this is what the teaching is all about. Yeah. Okay, with this explanation, we go back to the Heart Sutta note, and I will read you the answer, then you can understand. Pure Land teaching is based on Amitabha's great vow. Like I mentioned, he has perfected himself. He has 48 great vows, 48大愿. These great vows, they can manifest into what we call Pure Land, which created the Pure Land, also called the Western Paradise. Or in Mahayana Mandarin term, 西方世界. Oh, 极乐世界. 西方极乐世界. That's why it's called a paradise, Western paradise. For those disciples or cultivators who have affinity with Amitabha to continue with their cultivation and perfection. By virtue of Amitabha Buddha and all the other great bodhisattva like Kuan Yin, Manjushri, etc., great cultivation, their vows are very powerful because of their wisdom and virtue and perfection. Hence, this led to their great vows' ability to be integrated into nature's law, thereby enabling their vows to have such special ability or effect to create such pure land, which manifests naturally, thus helping the cultivators and their disciples who know how to connect directly to their vows without themselves having to be there or at any specific place to help. So all this vow make it possible. It's just like your vow has become a part of nature's law. Just like Kuan Yin, there is a vow where she make a hill to call upon Kuan Yin's for how or their special name or a mantra or Om Mani Padme Om and all those things. Or even chant the Heart Sutta. All this, it will invoke the affinity to connect. So it say whoever who call upon her name or the mantra or whatever, sincerely, there will be a response. Which means Kuan Yin don't have to be everywhere to help people. Because of that vow that has been integrated into nature's law, it will respond automatically, like yeah, nature's law it manifests. Yeah. So this Pure Land teaching, the Western paradise, is the same. Amitabha Buddha also through his very unique and special one because of his great perfection enable all this to be possible. Okay, we go back to the sharing. This pure land or Western paradise is in the heart of those who have developed the cultivation. If you have developed the cultivation, you will know. Actually, the pure land is in our nature. That's why it's not in the 31 plane of existence. So even Guangqing Lao Hesang, the famous monk, people ask him, where is the Western paradise? The answer, 西方极乐世界就在心头, is inside your heart, you see. So that's why here I also mentioned this pure land or the Western paradise is in the heart of those who have developed the cultivation. They have the ability to connect directly to Amitabha's Buddha's, to Amitabha Buddha's vow via their silent mind with very strong faith while chanting Amitabha Buddha's name. Hence, Amitabha, Amitabha, Amitabha. So when you can recite the great Amitabha's or how it can develop the affinity and connect you, or whatever Amitabha's mantra that he has developed. You must chant until no one is chanting. There is the vibration that appears and your awareness has become one in perfect harmony and synchrony. Then I make a footnote. This pure land or Western paradise is not within the 31 plane of existence or samsara as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha. Then the next question is question 5. Somebody asked, what are these 31 planes of existence? This one is for those who are new. You may not understand what these 31 planes of existence are. So here is a good opportunity to understand it. You just pay attention. According to the Theravada tradition, the 31 plane of existence are the rhymes or existence within samsara or existence where living beings have to take birth or undergo birth and death following their karma. It can also be called the three world because they divide the 31 plane of existence into three world, the three lokas, or they call it jie, the rhymes. The first one is the formless rhyme, or in the Theravada tradition, they call it the arupa loka. Rupa is form, arupa is formless. Loka is world or rhyme. So the formless rhyme or world, there are four. The four formless rhyme are the rhyme of. The first one is actually infinite space. Then you have the infinite consciousness. Then the infinite rhyme of nothingness. Then there is the highest rhyme within the formless rhyme. They call it the rhyme of neither perception nor non-perception, where your consciousness has become so fine. It's like you are neither able to perceive or didn't perceive. That's why it's called the rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. You're after the rhyme of nothingness. You already, that consciousness already very fine, that there is nothing inside. But because their wisdom has not developed until it can transform them to realize Nibbana, that's why they cannot cease their consciousness. They cannot realize the cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana. Then when they continue with their refinement of the consciousness, they can reach the highest realm, which is the realm of neither perception or non-perception. It's like you live very long up there because your mind hardly perceive or didn't perceive. It's like very still, very quiet, but it cannot cease. And these are the cultivators of the way they believe, because the form is the problem. They realize with the form, they have to go through always sickness and death, and also birth. So they thought, when they can realize the formless realm consciousness, they will stay there without form, and they exist very long. So to them, it's like their ultimate salvation, because the duration of their existence is so long. So because of that, a lot of the cultivator who developed thought-based energy field cultivation, they go through all the jhanas. The first four, they call it the form jhana. When you develop the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, third jhana, and the fourth jhana, these four are within the form jhana. And once you're able to develop them, chances are when you pass away, your birth will be in one of the 16 stages of form realm or Brahma realm existence, which realm depend on your level of jhana achievement. Then there is this anagami. Even those who realize anagami, they will also take birth up there, it seems, according to the Buddha. There is what they call the pure airport. There are five of this realm, if I'm not wrong, within the Brahma realm, where this anagami can take their last birth up there. After that, they will cease and realize arahantaship. So this is how it manifested. Then after the formless realm, there is what we call the form realm, the Rupa Loka, or the form world. Like I explained, these are the 16 Brahma realm. Those with first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, they will take birth here. So these 16 Brahma realm, they have some unique characteristics. That's why the four Brahma Vihara, or the four beautiful Brahma's mind state, where in the Theravada traditions, teaching is always taught. The first one is metta, loving kindness. Then you develop what they call karuna, compassion. The second Brahma realm mind state. Then the third one is mudita, rejoicing. So their mind states are very beautiful. They have a lot of love and kindness, a lot of compassion, a lot of mudita, rejoicing. Hardly any negativity mind state. That's why they can be in the calm and tranquil state to develop all the jhana. But not knowing that these are still thought based. That's why they are trapped within the form jhana. Then after that, they will proceed to cultivate the fifth, sixth, seven, and eight jhana. And this one are the formless jhana. That's why in Mahayana, they also mention this Si Chan Ba Ding. Why did they call it Si Chan Ba Ding? Because to them, it's the form jhana, or the first four jhana, first, second, third, and fourth, they call it Chan Ding, means You see in Zazen, actually the first four jhana, you know how to develop it, then release the concentration out, then you can cultivate the mindfulness and become enlightened. That's why it's called Si Chan. But Pa Ding means all the eight jhana, they are actually samatha, Ding Li, stillness. But this one is born of a conditioned state. This type of thing is not the samadhi that Sakyamuni Buddha taught under the seven factors of enlightenment. The samadhi that the Buddha teach is not a conditioned state. It's a free mind in the state of samadhi. Means the mind is not a conditioned mind. It's a free mind. But because of wisdom and understanding, it can be collected and unwavering. And because it's collected and unwavering, it stabilizes and becomes samadhi. Yeah. So that type of thing is different. There is not a conditioned state. It's a free mind. So if you do not understand the subtle difference, you will be trapped in thought-based, what they call jhana practice. Yeah. Then, recently, I think over the last century or one, there are more and more controversy about this type of jhana thing. Yeah. Then I start to see people trying to reason themselves or establish their own point. Some say without jhana, you cannot become enlightened. So they take the jhana as the noble eightfold power. You have right samadhi. And they say the right samadhi is right jhana. But then you can easily come to the conclusion. If it's really the equivalent to jhana or jhana, why not the Buddha say sama jhana? No need to confuse people with another word, sama samadhi. Then it will clear. Then later on, people start to come up with new understanding or idea. They say there is another type of jhana that is not born of the energy field and all those things. One pointedness. They call it the mindfulness jhana. Again, another name coin. So this is how all the practices, I call it practices and so-called cultivation, they evolve on its own. But for people who don't understand, they will continue to argue, compare, and maybe share all this. But for those who understand, the teaching is very clear, the Theravada tradition teaching. From Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 on heedfulness, you will understand why you need sati, mindfulness, accumulating to apamada, heedfulness. Because verse 21 mentioned very clearly, heedfulness is a path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is a path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So from this Dhammapada verse saying, it's very clear that you need to be heedful to stand a chance to become enlightened or to develop the spiritual understanding to awaken. Because without heedfulness, there is no chance. You don't stand a chance at all. I mean, spiritually, you are as if dead. There is no opportunity or window for you to realize the enlightenment. So if you don't train your mind to have stabilize it, to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, then Dhammapada verse 23 cannot be realized. Now in the Dhammapada verse 23, which defines Appamattha or heedfulness, the Buddha mentioned very clearly, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. So if you are not ever mindful, means if you have not trained yourself to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path or meditation as taught by the Buddha. How can you be in a state of constantly meditative? Means you must be heedful throughout the day in the midst of life and existence, not only in formal sitting. That's why daily mindfulness is a must. You must stabilize it. Without daily mindfulness, there is no realization, no enlightenment, no awakening. Because stability of mindfulness is very important, leading to sati sampajana, stability of mindfulness with clear comprehension. Then only the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness can take off, leading to the realization of anagami and beyond the arahantship. So all these are very clear. So if you miss all this understanding, then you go towards something that the Buddha never really emphasized on. We are all these jhana thing, they were there before the Buddha. The two teachers, Alara and Udaka, that taught the Buddha, they are expert in jhana. One reached the seven jhana, the other one reached the eight jhana. But after he learned from them and he became like of equal to them, the teacher invited him to sit as equal to teach. But Sakyamuni Buddha said, no, this is not what he wants. Just deep inside his nature, he knew the answer he seek is not all this state of mind, even the formless rhyme without the physical body. They know after they die, they will take birth there. But Sakyamuni Buddha knew as long as there is rebirth, samsara will have the problem with birth, old age, sickness, and death. You cannot overcome it. You cannot go beyond it. That's why he still want to go on his own and search for the truth, the realization. Because the reason why he left the palace and become a monk or samana is he saw the four signs. First, there is a very old man, then a very sick and diseased man, then the dead man. So he realized as a human being, he got no answer to this physical body getting old, getting sick, and dying. There is no answer, no solution. Now, all that he realized as a child, as he grew up in the palace of the Four Seasons, he realized that they are all not real. Because sooner or later, he will grow old, he will get sick, and he has to die. And there was no answer to old age, sickness, and death. And because of that, there is no answer to birth, existence, rebirth. So he, deep inside him, knew that there is another way to realize the wisdom to liberate the mind and to free. Or in the Mahayana term, they call jiatou, liao sheng shi, means to go beyond birth and death, to be totally free. That's why he continued to strive. Until finally, that I think Sujata offered the monk rice. Then he made the vow or make the very strong aspiration. Then he saw the sign. That's why he determined to see. He said not until he awakened, he will not rise from that spot underneath the Bodhi tree. Then when he said the condition of fall into place, and his past came back to me, to him. And he realized the profound Dhamma. Then he realized that physical body was never him. That one is karmically conditional, dependent originating, condition arising, also phenomena. Not his, not something that he can call, this is me, this is I, therefore this can be mine. Then when he realized that his problem is God, because this body and mind is just a vehicle and a tool for him to come to this existential world, to fulfill his vow, to perform his karmic thing and whatever, and to understand life, live life, cultivate and all things. So all these are the understanding that dawned upon him. That's why after that he got no more problem. He has a lot of joy. And then he become very different. Then initially he spent 7 weeks establishing all the joy and understanding and develop all the as recorded in the Tirodha Sutta. For 7 weeks after his enlightenment, he went through all this. Yeah. Then after that, he reflected. He said, the teaching that he has realized, Dhamma that he has realized, is so profound. Very unlikely that anybody in this world can understand. Then Sahampati, I think, can read the Buddha's mind. Respectfully come down from the pure airport, I think, from the Brahma ride, to pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, circumvent Tritan, and after that, request Sakyamuni Buddha to share. And he said to Sakyamuni Buddha, there are some with little dust in their eye who can understand you. Please continue to share this teaching. Then the Buddha reflected, surveyed the world. At first he thought, yeah, if my two teachers are still around, they can understand. So he checked. One of them just passed away 1 week ago. Then the other one, just the day before. So both of them are around. Then he surveyed the world and realized the five ascetics that were with him, they can also understand. And he knew where they are. That's why he walked towards the direction. And that's how the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, came to be, where he met up with the five ascetics and expounded to them the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. That is the essence of his teaching. And it was so beautiful. Then after that, he followed up with the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the Sutta on non-self. All five become Arahant. That was how amazing the preliminary teaching was. But that teaching, nothing to do with the Bodhisattva way. He just summarized to them all of life. Both mundane and supramundane. Then he turned it three times to develop the three types of wisdom, corresponding wisdom, that enable living beings to awaken. So this is how all this can happen. Okay, so now we go back to the sharing. So just now I have finished off with a formless rhyme, then the form rhyme. 4 plus 16 is 20. Then we have another 6 rhyme, which we call it the Deva rhymes. So Devarim is the third type of loka. We call it the karma loka. It's the sensual realm. Here karma is K-A-M-A, not K-A-R-M-A or K-A-M-M-A. This one is karma, means sensual. So karma loka is the sensual realm or sensual world. And the devas are in the devarim. So this devarim, there are six, or we call it the heavenly realm. So this one, they call it the happy realms. You know, when you can be born as devas, means you have your precept well taken care of, the minimum five precept and all those things. Then because of all your coming inheritance, they will condition be birthed in the devarim. Then below the devarim, you have one human realm. We call it the manusa, which is the realm of the humans, or what we are in this planet. Then below us, there are four more realms. They call them the woeful state or the suffering realms. That's why within Kama Loka, the sensual realm, they break into two. One is Kama Loka Dukkati, means the suffering world of the sensual realm. So suffering world of the sensual realm are the four woeful states. The realm of the demons, the animals, the betas or the hungry ghosts, and finally the hell realm. Then Kama Sukkati is the sensual realm of happiness, where the human realm are considered sensual realm of happiness. Of course, deva realms are hardly any suffering until before they die. Yeah. So the human realm we are considered as sensual realms of the happiness. Yeah. So this is very unfortunate, isn't it? Kama Sukkati, you know, the sensual realm of happiness, no. But how come there are so many suffering human beings around? Human beings become so entangled through delusion, through sexuality, through their ignorance, that entangle them and trigger so much suffering in them. Although they are born in the human realm, supposed to be a happy realm within the sensual world, but they suffer so much. Yeah. In fact, whether you are happy or unhappy, it depends on your understanding. That's the reason why. And when you think about in the sensual realm, especially the human realm, you're supposed to be very happy if you have the Dhamma understanding. Otherwise, you really can become miserable. So like Chief Raven used to say, why most of those last birth of the Samasabuddha before they become Samasabuddha after their last birth, they choose the human realm. Because the human realm is a realm which is very unique. Because within the human realm, you can experience the two extremes. You can become Samasabuddha through the human realm. And you can also go up to the Deva realm, the Brahma realm, and of course, the formless realm, Arupa Loka. But you can also go down to the woeful state until the deepest hell. That's why the human realm is very unique. We call it, I think in Hokkien, Tor Ho Tor Pai. It can go the two extreme. You know how to make use of it. It can give rise to great understanding and transformation. But if you are deluded, healers, it can bring you down to the deepest hell. Yeah. So this is how the 31 plane of existence can be understood. So here you have the four formless right, plus the 16 Brahma right, 20. Then plus the 6 Deva right, 26. 26 plus the human right, 27. Then the four woeful state, total 31. Then the Mayans called the 31 frame by a different name. They call it the sixth realm of birth and death. Liu Dao Lun Hui. You always hear of this word. Liu Dao Lun Hui means the sixth realm of birth and death. So this sixth realm, we have the human realm and the four woeful state. This one are the first five realms. Then remaining exactly the same as the 31 plane of existence. The only difference is the Mayana has only one heavenly realm. They call it Tian Fa Jian. So to them, Tian include the Brahma and the Arupa Loka formless realm. Means the Devas and the Brahmas and the Arupa Loka, they become the heavenly realm, Tian Fa Jian. Hence, it also constitutes the 31 plane, except that they group all the Deva realms, the Brahma realm, and the four Arupa Loka into the heavenly realm. So the Tian Fa Jie become 26, plus 5 is 31. So that's how you can understand that. Okay, then look at the notes. The note is very important. When you develop sati, awareness-based meditation, there is no thought involved. That's why no thought, your true mind arises. You become ever mindful and constantly meditative. So in bracket, imply ever mindful to constantly cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And these two, when you combine, it becomes heedfulness. And this is what Dhammapada verse 23 is all about. The constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. So this is all just to make it clear to cultivate all the way so that you can understand. Okay, we move on. Oh, we finish. What's the time now? Oh, we still have a little bit of time. Okay. Maybe before we go to the fifth lesson, we can maybe open up. Huh? Anybody has any question that you want to ask or you want to add more things to what we have shared today? Can you understand the first sharing, difference between Pure Land, Western Paradise and Nibbana? And the other one is the 31 plane of existence. Anybody? You have any question, you can just come in.
Bratio, Amitabha.
Yes,
I got, I don't know whether it's a question or something.
You can.
Trying to understand. Just what Bratio was talking about this Amitabha Pure Land, right? You go there and then you can come out to the human realm again to continue your cultivation. And then after that, you can go back to the Amitabha Pure Land again to resume your cultivation. So this going into the Amitabha Pure Land and then coming out again. So what is the, I don't know if this is the right question. Or not. How do you decide to come out and go back in again to continue with the
It's a good question. Well, most people don't understand. Because unless you have done the Pure Land cultivation before, you will never understand the power of vows. And vow can develop the affinity, and we call it the affinity to connect you to Amitabha Buddha's vow. They call what? I think the Mandarin word is xiang ying, perfect match. Xiang ying. They use another word, I think, jie ding, huang sen, ji le si jie. They make that vow and they will develop the faith and understanding that it will match and they can manifest and take birth there. So the manifestation and take birth there is not like you go somewhere and set up. It's not that one. It's like the vow can manifest that pure land. And because of your faith, sincerity, you call upon the Vahao of Amitabha Buddha, then it match. Then when it match, that's why you read the Amitabha Sutta, Amitabha Buddha Sutta, Amitabha Jing, which Sakyamuni Buddha actually shared. It's mentioned there, the Pure Land Running. Of course, the initial description is like, oh, that place is like a perfect place to cultivate. It's just like the Lotus Sutta, or the gemstone, everything. Then it seems there, all are cultivators. Minimum also the five preceptor, then the sainthood way. Then there are a lot that beyond the sainthood way, who actually took the Bodhisattva way. Then they will cultivate there. But one thing about cultivation that you have to understand is you need to go through tests. That's why to go through tests, the pure land don't have. You understand? So what happened is when it's time for you to gain experience in the conditioned world, the 31 plane of existence, then based on their understanding, they will make that aspiration a while. Then they will know how to manifest it so that they come to the existential world. But because of their affinity with the pure land, even when they are in this existential world, let's say our prime, our existence as human being, that's why you see a lot of pure land cultivators. When they take birth, they still know that they have pure land cultivation and their roots are connected there. That's why they will know what to do. And they will continue to develop the cultivation while on earth as a human rhyme. A human rhyme, you can gain a lot of experience. You can experience the eight reality. Then you can witness civilization, everything. Yeah. Then, just like any other cultivation and understanding, you will be exposed to a lot of other, we call it sectarian practices. The Theravada tradition, the Pure Land, or the Mahayana Zen tradition, and all the various sectarian practices, and even the other Tibetan or Vajrayana. But then you're also exposed to other traditions of religion, like the world has. You also have Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, and many other religions. Even in China, we have Confucianism, Taoism, and many other teachings. So all this is what our human rhyme has. Then what path you take, how you end up, if you have the understanding, if you know, they are all related to our karmic paths. Then your vows and all those things. Then when you come, how much you develop as understanding while you are here is very useful. So that when you make the decision to continue, like for us who take the Bodhisattva way, it's very straightforward. You continue with your Bodhisattva vow and continue to perfect yourself and finish it off. But in between, like some of the great Zen master, they also went and try the pure land. Then they experience something which trigger off the thing. In fact, I have read about some Zen masters. They are very, very famous. Finally, they still say, they still have the understanding that the Pure Land is the fastest. Because that one, less chance of mistake one, is it? You go that way. Because the vow take you a long one, everything. But there is certain advantages, pro, but the con is take very long. But it depends on the choice, the individual. You like to have that safe approach, then you like to go to the Pure Land, Western Paradise, then come to the existential world, then go back. That is your choice, understand? But whichever way you take, whatever that suits you, yeah, best for you, go ahead. There is no right and wrong about this. So cultivation depends on understanding. And when we understand, we will know how to develop it ourselves. Yeah. Because my nature in the past also, I tried the Pure Land way. That's why it knows. That's why this life it come. When I was cultivating in 1988-89, this Amitabha chanting. Actually, when I was in Cameron Highland, the moment I hear this Amitabha Buddha chanting and Kuan Yin, my nature inside automatically respond and become very different, very still, very quiet. The awareness is one with you. Then there was one day like I explained in my sharing. While I was driving, for no reason, this Amitabha at the brain there, the vibration came out like somebody inside there chanting. Then my awareness was in it. Then I knew I must stop my car somewhere in silence and go into it. That's why after that I parked my car, then I signed. Then I understood why Mahayana chanting can also bring about the spiritual faculty to realize all this. Because it's just the spiritual faculty when your faith is there. When the spiritual faculty develop, everything will fall into place. Then mindfulness, sati, leading to the realization of the true mind, the stability of it. Then from there, everything continues. So these are the things that you can find out yourself if you want to, if you choose to. Because the journey is so long, and you can actually develop a lot of understanding so that when you are ready to share and teach, you can understand all this. It's just like in the early days, you can recall. I told you all, initially, let's say you can calm down your mind, develop the awareness within. Then because of that tranquility, that stillness, then nimitta appear. But don't be afraid of nimitta. You can try it out, play with it, stay with it, and see how it actually manifests and develops. Because these are the experience that you can gain, so that later on, when your time is ready to share and teach, you understand what these things are. But when you have the real cultivation, you cannot touch psychic one. Just like this line, very funny, I cannot go into one pointedness. I cannot go and push out all the energy and develop all the jhanas. It's totally not possible already. Because this nature, when it comes, it knows. But it can experience that. That's why initially, my anapanasati was very strong. I went into the absorption. I gained all the understanding. Then after that, I release it all. So all these are the things that you can develop as you come and take rebirth within the human right. In fact, the human right is one of the best rights where you can experience a lot of great things regarding the cultivation. Okay, Pochay?
Yes, Bharatio. There's another one beside Amitabha Pure Land, right? There's this Maitreya Buddha Pure Land as well. I read in a book that says that it is very easy, I mean relatively easy to so-called, I mean I don't know what's the right word, maybe it's not called enter, but to realize this Maitreya Buddha Pure Land, with the compared to Amitabha Pure Land, because Amitabha Pure Land you need to have Xiang Ying, you know. But
is there a sutta on that, Fuji? I'm not very sure. But I haven't heard of Pure Land by Maitreya.
Yes, there is. I read the book called The Path to Buddhahood, and in that
but is
particular
it
book,
a sutta?
actually, I also don't know whether it's a
Oh,
sutta or
never
not.
mind.
Yeah, but it's I heard before a few times, not just with the, from the book lover. But anyway, it's a lot easier to go there, because there's no regression, you know, because you follow
Not only
Maitreya
no
Buddha.
regression, because most people who has tried, they will know hardly any chance of going wrong on this. Means you will not go astray. Whereas you take the normal one, it's very easy to get lost on. But the English word get lost is not good. Palm gear. Or lost your way. A better word is lost your way. You see, like I have shared with you all last time, before you all know about sati and the awareness-based meditation, do you know, if you cultivate the normal way, so many things can go wrong. Sati also, you cannot get it right on. Very difficult to get it right on. Then to understand the Buddha's teaching without sasana also very difficult. So you need all this window, the golden window and all those things. And you need the wow and all. Whereas the Amitabha or Pure Land, you must have that wow and synchronize and harmonize Xiang Yin. Then you just have faith. Your faith must be very strong. But that one is based on faith, fully faith. Then sincerity, then you persevere, then it will connect you. But although it's mentioned easy and much less chance of deviating, don't be mistaken that it's easy. Because that one needs a lot of faith, and the faith is very different. So whatever it is, don't go and like try to change course and all. No, find out whatever that suits you and best for you, and just continue your cultivation. You won't go wrong. Then the rest you can learn them as you progress along the way. So don't be like some cultivator greedy for like Maggie Mee instant, and won't get lost and very fast. So they decide based on that. And the decision is based on what? The greed to programs and all those things. So don't let all those things influence you. Just be sincere, have faith, and whatever that come based on the condition, causes and condition, you will understand what that thing is. Then if there are conditions that arise for you to try, keep it a try, no harm. Then find out yourself. Don't be influenced by anybody. That's why when they mention that ultimately they still prefer Pure Land is because my understanding also came to the same conclusion. Chances of going wrong is much, much more slimmer than the outright cultivation like what Sakyamuni teach. And all. Because Sakyamuni teach one is wisdom way. If you have the wisdom way, you won't get lost also. You will also stay in the correct path. But the trouble with the world is, as I always explain, even with Sakyamuni Buddha's coming 2,600 years ago, just over these 2,600 years, what has happened to the teaching? It has become so different, distorted, and all those things. Then a lot of the authentic understanding is no more there to help awaken the cultivator of the way. And it's so easy to debate once you don't have the correct teacher and understanding to guide you. So in that sense, I tend to agree that chances of deviation if you go the Pure Land way is very much less. But if you don't have affinity with Pure Land, please don't be gullible and don't try to, because if you go in new, not to say it cannot be done, unless you have affinity from your past or what, then you have developed it, then it's very natural. It will just happen. But if you have not, find out for yourself, investigate for yourself, cultivate based on what you understand and your affinity. And then you will not get lost. You will still progress. And any path you take or any of this cultivation you take must be based on understanding. When you understand, do what comes naturally. Then check your sincerity. Your sincerity is not there. You will debate on. You will try something else on. Because most of it is the greed or the eagerness to go faster or shorter or progress in that way. But you go into something that you are totally new and not familiar with, then you have to ask yourself, is that a wise decision? Do what is best based on your own understanding, your affinity with the thing. It's just like this line. If you are talented in certain things, that talent will shine forth, and you will know, and you will develop it very well. But if you don't have that talent in that thing, you want to learn new. Not to say it cannot, but it will take you a while. But everything also take time. But if you know it's a wrong practice, then it's different. Then immediately you wake up and change. But if it's not a wrong practice, it's still one of the cultivation, then continue. My advice is continue what is best for you. And you have the understanding, you just continue to do. So all this is a matter of understanding. That's why I say you must meditate with understanding. When you understand, any path, any way can also lead to the realization of Samasa Buddhahood. But you must have three things: faith, sincerity, and perseverance. You have these three, it will keep you in line. You will not deviate. Okay, Pujay?
Yes, thank you, Ratio. Sadhu, yes, I think that's very important, faith, sincerity, and perseverance to keep us on track that we will not get lost in our cultivation. The most important is the understanding, Ratio.
The understanding. Yeah, when you have the understanding, you cannot be tempted by all this. You cannot debate any. What people say is not important, really. Then there is no more doubt. You do what is natural, and you do what is best for you. So all this, the cultivator of the way will understand. Because this Dhamma Ipacetang can be realized by the wise each for themselves. If you are on the wrong path, you will know. Because the unique characteristics of the Dhamma will not be there. Then you know this is not the right way to cultivate. And then you develop new understanding, then you throw away the old one, because the old one doesn't lead you anywhere. You have been doing the same old meditation and doesn't lead to any progress and understanding, or not much progress and understanding apart from Dhamma knowledge, then you better develop the understanding and move on to awareness-based meditation and understand clearly what sati and awareness is, then what heedfulness is. That you can be mindful, aware, heedful in the midst of life. And then all the understanding will come to you. Like the Buddha said, the heedful never die. It's your destiny for enlightenment. So heedfulness is very important. That's why before the Buddha passed away, he advised the disciples, the monks, and the devotee. He said, strive on with heedfulness. That's it. Apamadena asampadita. So all this demands understanding. And his words are very powerful and very direct, points towards the cultivation and the truth. Apamadena sampadita. All these are very clear. So apamada is very important. Heedfulness. Develop it. Means train your mind to be aware and stabilize it. And use it to cultivate, to awaken, to insight the phenomena, to realize the Dhamma, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path so that you can be heedful in the midst of life. That is what you have to do. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew. The reason I bring up this Maitreya Buddha is because the next future Buddha is Maitreya Buddha.
Yeah. He
very
will
luckily,
be the future.
Very likely, because you're walking the path of Bodhisattva, right? You will still meet Maitreya Buddha. Yeah, that's why. That's about it. Thank you, Matthew.
No problem. Yeah, sadhu. He will be the next Sammasambuddha to arise. But when, we don't know. It may be very long. According to the prediction, is the human life will become very long during that time, and the human size are very big. So all this is in the sutta. And they choose their era and how they come. That's why very different. Then the Lotus Sutta also predicted this Sariputta's future Buddha Sasana is also very unique. That time, a lot of great beings. And during that time also, the era is very different. But Sakyamuni Buddha choose via wisdom way. He can come anytime and in any situation and circumstance. That's why all Sammasambuddha or great beings cultivation, they have different understanding and they have different preference. Because if you look at all their coming, everyone is different, they choose differently. And they can really give you a lot of ideas and understanding of the cultivation. So that you can also on your own develop your unique way. That's why, like my nature, I develop this unique way because I improve on the Bodhisattva vow to have this understanding life after life. I realize without this, during non-sasana, cultivator of the way can get lost. And Pusen Pusa also as a very unique vow that enable her to be equally unique. Guan Yin Bodhisattva also, Ti Zhang Wang Pusa also, and all the other great beings. Okay, good. If there is no more, then we can have our meditation. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I will now off the line so that we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So, relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. Then the third one is stabilize the awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to do. So, follow the instruction that I have written in the last book. That one can help you. That one is November 2023. So I will now set the alarm so that you all can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay. Okay, you can now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation, okay? And we'll continue for our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever Q&A question you may have. Also, Dhamma sharing on today's topic or Dhamma in daily
Baidu, one of
life.
the Heart Sutra class, I think 2 weeks ago. I don't know whether it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but anyway, sometime that I had my meditation together with the class, right?
Yes.
So it was raining very
Yeah,
heavy here.
very heavy, I remember
Thunderstorm
one of the
and
sessions.
whatever, like lightning, you know. So when it comes to meditation, the weather was so like that, so noisy, right? So I said, how to meditate, huh, in this kind of noises, you know? But okay, maybe I explain a little bit what happened
Sadhu,
before
very
that,
good.
lah. I mean, in the past when I first started meditating, right? So when I had this lightning, or the howling wind, right? It was very extreme. I mean, very interesting experience for me, lah, because the howling wind, it will go into my ear, become vibration, you know, Bratio. And then after that, go. I mean, it's not like the sound that you hear,
I
but
know,
it's
I
a
know.
vibration you hear through the ears and then going into your heart, you know, that kind. So that kind of experience is something different for me that I have never experienced before. So during that, when such thing happen, right? I mean, I wouldn't be like really meditating in the sense, like, but I'm able to experience the phenomena
Yeah, sadhu,
in different ways than I
yeah. The
normally would have
awareness is
experienced.
the way of it without the words.
Yes,
Without the words.
correct, exactly. So that was the past, huh? Then this time, right? So this time I want to meditate. Usually I would be enjoying the weather, the sound,
Because it will
the
not affect
rain,
you.
you know, the rain falling and things like that. So I thought that will be my experience when I'm meditating, like, you know. But something really interesting happened in a sense that I never experienced before, like, you know, right? So the sound was, I mean, I also made an effort to say maybe I can try meditating in this kind of I mean atmosphere, huh? So I try to meditate. So I mean, of course, the sound around first, you hear all the thunder and the lightning, you know, blah 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 blah, you know, that kind of thing. Then I stay at my heart, you know, then I stay in my heart. And then of course all this suddenly disappeared, the sound of the lightning and sound and thunder all disappeared. So it's just the heartbeat vibrating, right, Bratio? So after that, I went into the silent mind, no, Bratio?
Sadhu,
Okay,
very
in
good.
that silent mind, right, Bratio, there's nothing that I can hear at all. It's zero, you know, nothing, you know, nothing is going on, you know, totally silent and tranquil,
Sadhu.
you know, that kind of state of calmness, nothing, you know,
Correct, correct.
you experience zero, like zero thing, you know. Okay, so I was in this state for the whole duration of meditation, right? And then
Sadhu, very good.
the funny thing is, when the bell ring, when you alarm ring, I didn't hear also, no, Bratio. Okay, and then I overshot the meditation time, until it comes up from the meditation itself, and then I start to hear the thunder and the lightning again, no, Bratio.
Sadhu,
So and then the next thing I know is, of course, y'all started talking and blah, you know, the
The
meditation and things
sharing
like that,
started
lah.
again,
So the interesting part of it is, you think that I meditated for so long, but I actually feel that I was just meditating for maybe
Yeah,
10
for a
minutes
short
or
while
15
only,
minutes for a very short while, you know. Then it had to
Sadhu.
come out already, you know, and then I hear the lightning and thunder again, you know. I say, wow, such an interesting meditation that I don't hear anything, I don't feel
Sadhu.
anything. And the thing is, I mean, this is now my afterthought, lah, right? If something happened to me, I also cannot know. You know what I mean? It really
When
turned
you
me
come
out,
out of it, then
yeah.
only you can recollect and recall what happened.
Yes,
This
yes,
is
yes.
good. This
So
is
that was,
beautiful.
yes, in the sense that you were in that state, of stillness and silent, totally,
Completely without thought, without the
yes.
sense experience to create any distortion. Because you have went in at the heart there for quite long duration. And that one is the samadhi that went in. And that one is the one that actually enable you to shut off the senses. This one can happen. Can happen. It's for you to understand that our senses, when it is a free mind, when you are not in the samadhi state, then it can pick up the sense experience. It's the sense data that imprint, like the vibration, everything. Our consciousness can pick it up upon contact of sense data with the sense basis and the consciousness. It will trigger off, like the physics experiment, the respective consciousness. So in this particular case, it's the tactile and the hearing. Then like what we have developed as understanding, when you have the silent mind, which is the awareness nature, in that state is before the knowing. So your earlier experience of the earlier meditation is also very good, because when you are in that state, that is the pure awareness nature. That nature got no word, no description, nothing like. So it actually is aware of the phenomena as they are, without word. And the experience is very beautiful, because that is the realization of the vastness of things. See things as they are, hear things as they are, smell things as they are. Everything is as they are, without distortion, without the memory, the conditioning coming into play, without the mundane mind trying to tell you anything. So that one is the initial stage. Then later on, as you develop more stability, then you can go in and become a required insight. When you are with the true mind, the silent mind, then that silence is deep enough, like what Alicia did last time also went in, where you really cannot perceive or hear even the bell ring and all those things, you cannot. Then in that state, like what you described, no thought, nothing, that silence, which is so beautiful, where word cannot describe. But then when the condition is there, you will be in that state. But that state also, like we all know, every phenomena, it does not last. Then when the time comes for it to come out or release itself, it will slowly come out and release itself. Then you start to detect the voice, the vibration, everything. Then you know the class has resumed. Then sometimes for Alicia, they are in other cultivator, it takes them quite a while to come out of it, to come out back to the conscious moment, the conscious mind. Because when we go into our awareness nature deep enough, after we go in for quite a while, that nature is no longer at the surface. We call it the deeper aspect of the samadhi, means this so-called collectedness of mind, stability of sati, has developed into a stability where it's no longer at the surface. It has gone in deeper. It's just like in a lake. When you are at the surface, whatever happened at the lake surface, when the tree drop in, the leaf or the wind, the breeze, everything, when you are at the surface, you can see all this phenomena. You can be aware of all this phenomena. But as you go deeper, this one is just an analogy. You go deeper part of the lake. Even the divers, they know. When you reach certain depth, no light can penetrate with you. There is no light, nothing. Then the vibration also not happening. Unless there is fissures or what, nothing more. Then inside, that deep stillness. Then to come out of it, like the diver, it takes a while. You need to slowly, slowly come out. And when you reach the surface, you become conscious again. Means all this is what that nature is before it reached the surface to have the condition for the mundane perception to arise, for the mundane mind, the mundane contact, and the mundane activity to surface again. So this is how cultivator of the way who develop this awareness-based meditation can understand that the awareness nature, a lot of things inside there, and it's very different from what people could fathom. I use the word fathom because it's very difficult for normal people to understand. You need to be in that state to understand all these things. That's why the Buddha said, this Dhamma that has been realized in Pachetang can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. The form of mind that when it, only they can understand what this thing is. And this one, when they arise, there is no word, nothing. But the mundane mind that arise later on, it can recollect what happened. Where we have this brain, this memory, then whatever experience our nature go through, either you are aware that you can recollect, or you can remember through memory. So the normal people only recall or remember through memory. But ours is from the awareness nature. We develop the awareness. Then when the senses are cut off, the sense experience is not there at all. That's why whatever happened outside, you don't have any what we call a sense perception of it, because we have gone in deep. And then when you come out of it, how all this unfold and how all this manifest, how you come back to the conscious state to be with the nature awareness and the mundane thinking. That's why the two are very near. And from that nature, the thought manifests, arises very fast because of our conditioning, memory, belief system, everything. Where thought is respond to memory. So from memory, all this start. Then our habitual tendency of views of pain and our conditioning. Now then you start to understand how we function as a human, how the mundane thinking arises, how the normal human being behave and develop all this delusion, entanglement, clinging, grasping, holding on to things. Then they lack the direct seeing, the wisdom and the understanding to know that all these are impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. When you attach and cling and one thing, so away you suffer. That is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why they come and go, they come and go, they arise and pass away. That's why the conditioned world has its own condition and dhamma. So the Diamond Sutta describes it very well. Each year you waver. Because we live in a conditioned world. Everything within conditioned world follows the conditioned dhamma, the nature's law of paticca samuppada. The law dependent origination. They need causes and conditions for it to arise. And dependent on causes and conditions, it will arise. And the sustainer of it is also by the causes and conditions that are still moving and running and manifesting. Then when the causes and conditions cease to be, the phenomena cease to be. That's how you see clearly the empty nature of phenomena. Everything is not what you think. When the mundane mind holds on to it through memory, views, opinion, and conditioning, and belief system, then all this like manifests and appear like very real. Like the phenomenal world of consciousness is real. That's why it can make you emotional, fearful. Of course, it can also give you excitement, joy, and all those things. But this is what consciousness is all about. And the Surangama Sutta is very powerful. Perception of the external form is consciousness. Your consciousness is the one that manifests. It's like the magician. The Buddha gave the analogy. Our consciousness, vijnana, the sixth type of sense-based consciousness, they are like a magician to create magic or illusion for you to see. That's why it's an illusionary world of consciousness. And within consciousness, you can perceive the external sense data or respective sense bases, external form. And that's how form come to be. So when form arises, we deludedly grasp and cling and hold, then it will entangle us. Then we believe we exist. There is an entity. That's how sakrality manifests. That's how the egoic mind, the egoic consciousness arises. And this egoic consciousness, it comes from our pure awareness nature. Then we shrink it to a small space and we input the content of consciousness and it trigger off, become a thought. That's why that thought is limited because from the spatial awareness, it shrinks to a small space. Then you input the content, whatever within there is what the thought is. And the thought cannot be aware of what is outside of its content and its space. That's why thought is limited. And that space before you become enlightened is definitely egoic because it lacks wisdom, it lacks understanding. So all this is how the cultivator of the way develops the Dhamma understanding and awaken. And they become very different after that. Yeah. So can understand, huh? What saying?
Yes, sadhu, Bharatiya.
Yeah,
yes.
Sadhu. Yeah.
Initially, when you talk about the analogy of the lake, yeah, it kind of give me a very, how you say that? It gave me a very deep understanding of the surface level versus
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
level of
Because
the,
when you come out of it, then only you go back to the surface level, your normal conscious state, your awareness nature, and the conscious mind, the mundane mind. They are very near. But from there, it manifests very fast. And that's what living beings, mundane mind is all about. That's why the Buddha called it mano. He said, our this mundane mind, the mano, is the forerunner of all things. And mind is she. When mind arrives, all things arise. Well, this one follows the nature's law. Law of karma. Law of dependent originating. Law of cause and effect. All this will become like very clear to the cultivator. Then you start to see all this manifestation. They are just the way they are. Not what the mind perceives, not what the individual perceive or think. Then as you develop clearer and clearer understanding, this understanding stabilizes. Then you become different. That's why that awakening, that realization transform us, transform the individual. Krishnamurti used the word, create a revolution in your consciousness. Your consciousness become different. When you see the truth of it, you realize it, you're no longer deluded. You cannot be deceived or deluded by it anymore. It is like you wake up. And you become very different. Whatever people tell you, not important. But you see it really. You know it's not real. Not what people think. So all this understanding, the Dhamma understanding, which is wisdom, born of the direct seeing, the direct awakening from the silent mind, the pure silent awareness nature. That nature is capable of a lot of things. As you go deeper, as you penetrate and the internal transformation, more and more things happen. Then your consciousness transforms and you become very different again. And this one is not the thought consciousness. This one is not the thought base. This is awareness based. Your awareness nature inside the vibration all become different. Yeah, as it develops more and more stability or wisdom, the wisdom energy, which is very fine, they will transform. That's why initially it reaches a fineness where the mundane mind cannot withstand it. That's why the mundane mind will collapse. When it reaches that level of fineness and stability, the wisdom, then the mundane mind cannot resist it, withstand it, then it will collapse. That's how the collapse of the mundane mind take place. Then after that, you will continue your cultivation. It will continue to become more and more refined, more and more refined. And it will continue to transform. And the stability or understanding will become different. Until finally, you inherit back all your past cultivation, your spiritual understanding, together with your karmic inheritance, the virtue, the wisdom, the understanding, everything, the two come together and let you understand clearly what life is, what existence is, what the nature is. That's why the condition and the unconditioned both can be understood. And this is the blossoming of true understanding, wisdom. Before the unconditioned and the conditioned both can be understood, there is no real wisdom yet. Initially, even the initial insight of what is just one aspect of the unconditioned wisdom. Yeah. But later on, when you understand the conditioned Dhamma, then you understand life clearly, profoundly. Yeah. Then from both the understanding, it becomes complete. It is no longer the fragmented, one-sided, reality-based type of understanding. That's why that stage when the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma both has been understood and realized, that being become very different. That being develop pure understanding, clear understanding. That is like the third level of Mahayana seeing. Kan san, yu su san, he become normal again. Or we call it the suchness seeing. He has gone beyond the supramundane seeing, the direct seeing. And that one is still within cultivation. Then when the conditioned Dhamma and conditioned Dhamma both has been understood, that transformation is very different again. That one is the most beautiful. It will lead to the understanding of the Heart Sutta teaching. True emptiness is wonderful existence. 真空妙有. Okay, Pocheng, I think this is for you and those Alicia Liao and all the other Kayamita who has developed the cultivation. This one is very beautiful. The understanding of it.
Yes, Ratio. In fact, when Ratio talk about this condition and unconditioned Dhamma, right, I felt that the conditioned Dhamma is more difficult than the unconditioned Dhamma.
Yeah. In fact, you are right. The realization of the unconditioned Dhamma, because you have done it, is easier to understand than the conditioned Dhamma. But the conditioned Dhamma need a lot of understanding. Because the conditioned Dhamma is not something that you can understand. Without the Sammāsambuddha, you cannot. The Sammāsambuddha has the understanding, that's why he has the Four Noble Truths, Three Turning, and the explanation of the five aggregate of form and mind. And what this five aggregate is all about? All this is the condition Dhamma teaching. And if he has not given us the pointer, we cannot understand. That if I am not share with you that we have a karmic nature, a spiritual nature, you cannot link all this. You cannot. Yeah, everybody is talking about karma, karma, karma. But that thing is a nature, karmic nature. Each and every one of us have their own individual, unique karmic nature. And that thing is not a being. You cannot own it. Well, it's a summation of all our segmented life existence. Every moment of consciousness that we arise, the summation of it. Because the content within, like read a song share in one of the earlier sharing where the new book is. He said, it is the mental intention that trigger of the significance of that consciousness, means whether that thought is moral or immoral, wholesome or unwholesome, depend on the mental intention inside that. So all this understanding, when you are mindful and aware, you will develop the wisdom where you see how it's still you have manifest and create the delusion in you, then how it trigger off wrong thoughts still and make you afflicted, miserable, grass cleaner. So all this you witness, you start to see. That's why I say you will come to know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. How all this manifestation and creation comes to be. Then you will awaken to the truth and the teaching, the Dhamma. Everything is just the way it is, so clear, so pristine, so beautiful. Then we start to realize how amazing the Buddha Dhamma is. The Sammasambuddha's teaching is so comprehensive, so detailed, so extensive, and it's so beautiful, can be clearly understood. You don't have to believe anything. All this can be realized. Very good, sadhu.
Yes, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah.
That's why Varathi always say that you have to come back many lives to cultivate, to understand this conditioned world.
Yeah,
otherwise,
that's why you
what,
need the Bodhisattva
what,
way. One
yeah,
life
just,
cannot
impose. Yes, one life you only know so little, you know.
Yeah.
Then that's why you have to come back, keep coming back
to
develop your understanding in a vast manner,
yeah.
you know. Because everyone is different. There are so many causes and conditions that
and we need
interconnected.
To understand the cultivation so that you take the Bodhisattva way, then you can actually go deep into that nature through the gateway to realize the transformation internal. Then after that, you inherit from your spiritual nature. And then only you can recall all your past cultivation. Then only you can, from there onward, continue your cultivation and speed things up. Otherwise, it's going to take too long. Cannot finish. How to finish? Yeah. That's why Sakyamuni Buddha, even his last life, he spent 6 years, because of causes and conditions. Then when he awakened underneath the Bodhi tree, that auspicious night where he became a Sammasambuddha, he inherited everything from his spiritual nature. That's why his spiritual nature, the Sambhogayakaya, come in. Then together with the Nimanakaya, which is the functional body of the Buddha at that time, transform him into a Sammasambuddha, or they call it the Dhammakaya. The Kaya is the body that teach or manifest the Dhamma. That's why from Nimanakaya, to add in the Sambhogayakaya, the spiritual nature's inherited wisdom and understanding and virtue, it eliminate him into a Sammasambuddha. Or he has the Dhamma body that can speak the Dhamma, shares the Dhamma, and teach the Dhamma. That's how the Trikaya, the three body, manifests. So each and every individual, when you come, you also have the physical body, or we call it the Nimanakaya, the functional body of our segmented life that perform the function of what we are, this life. Like this life, my Nimanakaya is this physical form and mind. You call Pradatil. Then you also have your own. Then there is a spiritual nature up there. There is a karmic nature up there. But the karmic nature, the moment you are born, like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, and to your karma condition is supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So all this already set the blueprint or the imprint. Everything is there. Then the other part that is more difficult to understand is the spiritual nature. We are everybody different. Some they didn't cultivate, they don't have a spiritual nature. But most cultivated all the way they have, but to what extent you have evolved it, developed it, depend. That's why you cannot say why some cultivator come, they progress so fast, suddenly they recover it. It's because they have put in a lot of cultivation, hard work in the past. Then their spiritual nature is there. When the time is ripe, they inherit, they become very different, they transform, and straight away they reach back to their level of cultivation. Then from there, their understanding unfold and manifest. You look at Hui Ning, all the great beings when they come, like Sakyamuni Buddha, they become very different, even my this segmented line. After I developed the understanding and the connection 1989, my nature also came back and became very different. So all this is how the Bodhisattva way to the long history of cultivation and understanding of this tradition, the Supreme Vehicle Teaching, enable cultivator of the way, although one lifetime we come, one segmented life is so short. But for you to inherit everything and come back to that level of understanding, you need this Supreme Vehicle Teaching to enable you to have the causes and conditions to do it. Otherwise, it's impossible. Like I mentioned it in our coming book, hasn't come out yet. One lifetime is really impossible. But because of the past, of the vows, the understanding, all this, the Adhittan, the Adhittana, everything, all this help bring forth the causes and conditions for this to be possible. Then all this understanding can be passed on and shared with the world. Then like I always share, our civilization will continue to evolve and transform. And how long this teaching, this sharing, this understanding can remain with the world depend on the causes and conditions then. Just like I say, this Buddha Sasana, this window, is very unique, very beautiful. I call it the golden window. Make full use of it. Then when you have that understanding and you know how to make full use of it and cultivate the Supreme Vehicle Bodhisattva way with sincerity, faith, and perseverance, and really Adhittan, and make sure you set in motion all the causes and conditions for you to come life after life. Whether you choose to come or you have to come, you will have all this understanding to continue this way of cultivation. And that is the most important. Once you determine that and firm it up and stabilize it, then your whole future coming is taken care of. Your nature become very different. And this is what Maitreya want my nature to share with the world. This is the a new understanding that can transform the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Okay. Yeah, Pocheng, you can continue. Sorry.
Yeah, Bradio, this golden window of opportunity is very important for us. At least for me, I can speak for myself that after I would say Bradio kind of remind me the 2017, I took the Bodhisattva vow, right?
Yeah, you become very different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that time I still do not know Bratio and all
yeah,
that,
yeah,
whether
yeah.
I become different or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But since you mentioned this just now, that because I cultivated the Supreme Vehicle Bodhisattva
yeah,
way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
is set, you know, I mean, without me knowing, everything is set. The causes
yeah.
and conditions already like set
and
for
it
me
will
that
fall into place.
Yes, exactly, you know.
Yeah.
So what you say is so true, that it just a flow by itself, unfold by itself, then I just do what I need to do, like, you know, with
Correct.
faith,
Let God
sincerity,
have
and
flow,
present.
then the whole
I just
thing just
do,
manifest.
yes, I just do what I need to do, following your good advice, the instruction given. I just do my part, lah, brother. Is that not? Oh my God. I still have to do my part, determined to do, to be aware and do my part, and then it will unfold nicely, you know, without me knowing it, you know what I mean?
Correct,
Obviously,
correct.
without me knowing initially, I mean, if I've done it, if I how should I say, if I'm not done it in 2017, this thing will not happen, you see?
Not happen.
Because I did it in 2017, everything unfold naturally, you know, following instruction, doing it correctly. I mean, did not expect anything, and it just unfold by itself, lah, brother. Isn't
Very,
it
very
beautiful?
true.
You know, it just do my part, determined to be aware, do my part, you know.
That's why all this can be witnessed by the individual, each for themselves, pacetang one, the realization inside.
Yes. So
It's not a knowledge or what, because this is what went through the transformation, the understanding, the awakening, whatever manifestation, your awareness needs to witness it, sees it, and awaken it. And all this can be shared and developed as an understanding. That's why it's a living Dhamma. Whoever go through it in whatever way, whatever word you use, but finally you come back to the same understanding. Because the understanding is similar. It cannot run on from the way the cultivation is. The cultivation cannot be otherwise. It will go like that. And to what extent you develop the understanding and the transformation depend on the individual, the past you have, how much you can inherit from your past, and from there, how you continue your cultivation, your affinity with the Triple Gem, with the Great Big Gem. All this will fall into place. Then it will evolve the way it's supposed to evolve. That's why when it come about, it's very amazing. It's very beautiful. And all this is what the real teaching is all about. It's capable of complete understanding and transformation.
Yes, right. So precisely said. It is so beautiful and wonderful and amazing, you know, that the cultivation just transform, you know, following the Bodhisattva way and following the awareness-based
Correct.
meditation, you know. I mean, I have so much joy and gratitude towards Brother Teo and the Triple Gem, you know, all Buddhas
the
and
Triple Gem.
Bodhisattvas, yes, for
All the
making
great
it,
beings.
I mean, for helping me, you know, in a
Yeah.
way to show me the way and then to give a lot of faith to myself
Yeah,
and
they
others, you know.
support the cultivator the way all along. That's why they are ever, their nature is ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. They always have their so-called nature blessing us, then supporting us. That's why we always ask for their support, their blessing, their guide, and their protection. Protection is more or less for our form and mind. Because this form and mind is very fragile. Every segmented life it comes is very fragile. The form and mind, you cannot do much about it. It goes the way of nature. It's not you. It's just a vehicle and a tool for us to come and do what we have to do. And this one is subject to old age, sickness, and death. It has its limited lifespan. And all this understanding, you need to develop the cultivation. Otherwise, you will be deceived and deluded and think that this is you. Then you attach, you cling, you worry about getting old, getting sick, and die. Then, like a lot of deluded people in the past, they seek for something they call 长生不老, means eternal life. they want to eat that magic potion or tablet or whatever. After that, you become immortal. There is no such food or medicinal or 仙丹啊，还可以，丹药啊，what you call it in English 啊，丹药 is called，that type of special medicine，there is no such thing. Immortality is not for the Canadian world. The Canadian world cannot have immortality. Everything that arises persists to be. How can there be an immortal thing? So all this understanding, that's why you cannot confuse the conditioned Dhamma with the unconditioned. The unconditioned is different. The unconditioned, although you can say there is such a thing as the unconditioned, the eternal Dhamma and all those things, there is no such thing as impermanent or whatever. In the unconditioned, you cannot talk about it. So the unconditioned and the conditioned, they are different. So when you realize both, then only your wisdom become like complete. Otherwise, it can't. So that type of thought-based analysis or approach to understand all this doesn't work because the conditioned Dhammas, mundane mind, will try to seek for immortality, thinking that the form and mind can exist forever. You go and look for it. It's impossible. No such thing. But the mundane mind, being the mundane mind, deluded, foolish. So they have this type of thought that manifests. That's why the early civilization you heard of, even in China, the emperor seeking all this长生不老, 丹药, or try to eat something that can maintain their body for eternal life, may they won't die. There's no such thing. Then sometimes they go and learn the kung fu and perfected that kung fu until like the body is you cannot harm the body. Sometimes they foolish until they say, 刀枪不入. Maybe the knife and the spear maybe cannot penetrate you, but now with the bullet they can just destroy you. Because yours is the physical body is just a four element, flesh and blood, and this one is very vulnerable, very easily destroyed, and our organ, our sense of, no matter how you protect, it doesn't last. Very good. Today we have the condition to share all this. Sadhu, Pochek.
Yeah, Sadhu, Brother Teo, first would like to express my gratitude to Brother Teo for teaching this awareness-based meditation. I would say the awareness-based meditation really wake you up, lah, Brother Teo, so that you can witness so many things
Correct, correct.
beside the unconditioned, you know.
Yeah, you can
You so
realize the
witness,
unconditioned
yes.
aspect. Then through the direct seeing, you can understand the conditioned world.
Yes, exactly. That's what I want to say next. And then
That's why
after
you
that,
can realize the unconditioned and direct seeing, see the conditioned world. That's why you
yes,
understand both the conditioned
correct.
and the unconditioned.
Exactly. Very well said. Very nicely put.
That's
And
why
then because,
that awareness nature is a very unique nature. It's not
correct.
us.
Yes,
Like the
yes.
Buddha say, within the unconditioned, everything is still anatta. That's why sabbe dhamma anatta. Even within the conditioned and the unconditioned, there is no permanent unchanging entity self. No, the Buddha nature is not you. It's a nature, like the karmic nature. It's a nature. How can it be an individual? Like the karmic nature, the spiritual nature. It's not a permanent unchanging entity, a being that can come out and live life. No such thing as a, but it's a nature. Like the karmic nature, you cannot plug the karmic nature and ask the karmic nature come and live your life. No. But you need to come through a vertical and a two, the form and mind, which is karmically conditioned from the karmic nature. Then from there, it follows the nature's laws movement. This is what the conditioned world is all about. So a lot of people cannot understand all this. That's why they fail to have the wisdom to understand all this. And you cannot blame them because they are so limited by the thought process. They only use the thought, the mundane one. Apart from that, they don't know they have another nature, which is the awareness nature, the true mind, the silent nature within. That is the one that can give rise to the awareness before the knowing, before the manifestation of the thought process, before the condition Dhamma arise, the creation and all those things. It's the awareness nature that can see all these manifestations and realize all the understanding. That's why it can return and develop the cessation. So this teaching is really unique, profound, beautiful. That's why the Buddha Dhamma is very different. It's not a teaching that depends on a supreme entity, almighty.
And also, Bharatiya, the words cannot fully describe the awareness
that
nature,
that nature. Yeah, that
when
nature.
You say, you know, it cannot describe fully, you know. That
cannot, because
nature, yes.
You have to be the form and mind developing the cultivation and go into realizing. You need the form and mind to realize that thing.
Correct. But the words also cannot describe it
cannot,
fully.
Cannot.
Huh?
There
what
is
you,
an unconditioned.
What, you witness, what you witness and what you experience, you
yeah.
go through. You know?
That's why
And,
it's pachetang.
Yes, yes.
Pachetang.
So sometimes when you use words that cannot describe fully exactly what you mean by it,
yeah,
unless
yeah,
you went through
definitely.
It yourself, you know. So like Brother Teo said, those who went through it, pachetang, like you will understand, you know, other people that experience the same
they
thing,
cannot
you know.
Understand.
Yeah.
They
Other people that
only,
have not experienced cannot
they
understand.
only can listen to the sharing the words. That's
Yes.
why the Buddha mentioned, he said, this wisdom I cannot pass on to you. If I can give it to you or pass on to you, then I would have done it. But you think he's not compassionate. But it cannot be done. That's why he said, I can only show you the way, share with you the Dhamma. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to realize it yourself. And Jay Krishnamurti also said it the same way. He said, all this teaching that has been taught is no longer the authentic original. Means it's already no more sacred at all. Because when the authentic, the Buddha or the great being that realized it, at that one is the secret at that time, where he realized it. But when he speak it, it's no longer that thing. It's only words. And you have to make use of it to help you to develop the understanding and the cultivation. That's why I say all this sharing and word, you need the wisdom to understand them. You need to go through the cultivation and realize it yourself. And like I say, it's like the Dhamma door, one key at a time. When you develop the understanding, then only you can understand the next Dhamma door understanding. Then the next, the next. Then. Until your cultivation reach a level where you can connect them and realize that they are all one teaching, interconnected. The whole thing is so beautiful. And then you have the master key. Means you understand all this. Then you can actually manifest from anywhere, anytime, any place, any circumstances and situation. And this is the uniqueness of this teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. That's why it is not something that living being can fathom. Very good, Sadhu. 6:01 already. We need to end. You can summarize,
Yes, yes.
No, Sadhu.
Bharatiya, but before, actually, I won't summarize, but I want to add one more item
can.
I want
No
to
problem.
say before I forget. You see,
Yeah.
when we have this awareness nature that we witness, right, and we continue with our cultivation, we're using this awareness based meditation, right, and then because we take the, I mean, I take the bodhisattva vows, right, it helps my nature or my form and
yeah,
mind
definitely.
how you say it, to protect me, to help me to overcome my karmic
Correct. Correct.
karmic curse, you know, Bratio.
Yes.
I think it's so beautiful, you know. Without
Yeah.
that, I tell you, die already, you know. You get
Definitely.
me?
Because
Yes.
it will come and test you. That's why last time I also told you what happened. It also tested me. My son got the compound fracture and my mother heart attack in 1989. You know, it tested me, you know. Both were admitted. Then my son had an operation. My mother ICU. But the moment I contemplated and reflected, then I knew nothing go wrong. This is a test. The moment I mentioned that, the whole thing reversed. Both of them recovered. Came out of ICU, and my son, the compound fracture operation also, very well done. And both recovered. Then everything back to normal. So all this, you will understand. With the Dhamma, the understanding will protect you, like what you say. Otherwise, this type of test is not easy to pass unless you really have the Dhamma. But these are the realities of life and existence. It will manifest, and it show it to you, continue to show it to you. That's why this life, my nature witnessed a lot in the early days of the cultivation. And I saw a lot before even my nature started to come back and help me develop all this understanding. When I was very young, I already knew the signs were there. My grandmother used to tell me, my parents also used to say, I am different when I was born. Then I saw my photo when I was 2 years old. So innocent, so beautiful. So pure. I look at it and know that that baby or that 2 years old, I think 1 hour to 2 years old maybe, but no thought inside there. I can see. I can understand. Yeah, that expression, really very innocent, no thought inside there, and so beautiful. That's why later on when my mother told me, I recall only some of the things that happened when I was 5 years old. That time I seldom talk. My grandmother said he thought I dumb. Aloha in Hakka. That's why then when I grew up, she was so surprised. My grandmother told me, wow, last time you hardly talk until 5 years old. So they all worried that I may be, you call it dumb. So you will come to know. That's why for me it's very natural. You know, I don't have thought. The only thing is I was not like winning. Winning was without the mundane mind. But I don't have thought. I was very pure. And you know what happened, after 5 years old, they transferred me back to Alostar, where my father had to take back the business of the shop and run. Then it was a notorious place with a lot of gangster and all those things. And I was in that environment. I grew up. But normal people would have been contaminated and all things. But for me, very strange. The gangster don't come after me, don't disturb me or what. That's why my eldest brother also knew. Every time he saw the gangster coming, he passed the money to me. He said, keep for me. Because they will go and search him up and try to get money from him. But they won't come and disturb me. My brother also know. Then a lot of strange things happened. Then, of course, my so-called innocent, pure mind when I was 5 years old. When I become 6 years old, before I go to school, primary school, within that 1 year, I was so conditioned until I become like the normal kid, or the, I learned everything. Then I grew up from there. Then karma take over. My father sent me to English school. Then the rest is history. Everything. The way I learned in school also, I look at it very strange. You know? Before I understand, I was last in the class, number one. And so that two, I was second one. The only subject I score, perfect score, is arithmetic subject. So because of that, I become second one. So I got 100 marks instead of two. So one, I totally don't understand what is being taught. It's an English school. And my hometown, nobody know English. And that's how I came to develop all this understanding. Then when I understand the language, standard three onward, I did very well. I topped the class. Then I went to special class and all things. Then the rest is history. So the learning is from what I observe and what I can understand. It's not the thought based on. I realize I develop through understanding. And I like to have understanding to develop all this. Oh, sorry, we must end already. 6:09 already. Okay,
yes,
we end.
Anand Ratio
and Sadhu.
And Triple Jam. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Okay, so let us rejoice and we share merit. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Sadhu, Sadhu.
Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu loka sasana etta wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo sadukarena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko immina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the holy ones. Let me end. Sadhu.